This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's 2 days after Christmas. Merry Christmas all. I think it's episode 509. I should have looked that up. I didn't. I trust you all had a wonderful Christmas. That's an odd sound in the car. Oh, there, now it's better. I don't know what that was. Anyways, I just took my wife into town. She's going for her hearing test. She is still recovering from gallbladder surgery. Struggling a little bit with that recovery because she's been coughing at the same time. And so I'm really coughing hard. So she's got a lot of sore muscles and trying to decipher what is sore muscles and what may be a potential problem. And so I took her in, met her mom. She's going to have a hearing test today as well before the end of the year, just to kind of check out and see what's going on there. It was Elf Day last Friday. All was well. We had fun. As it turns out, I got my wires crossed with a friend who plays Santa at Walmart, and he had told me last week that I should come dressed as an elf and that we could have a picture taken together. And I just assumed it would be this last weekend as opposed to the week before that, because I didn't have my elf costume ready. So I got all back dressed up in my elf costume, and I had one other stop on Saturday. I went on Friday and we did all the running around, had fun, yada yada yada. It was fun. It was fun. I think the most interesting encounter was I got back out to the car for the last time. I was getting ready to drive home, got my hat taken off, and a couple of ladies ran up and said, wait, could we get it? And I said, sure. So I got, put my hat back on and everything. They took a picture and I smiled. And they said, and then can we have one more thing? Can you help us with our disciplining of our kids and remind them that they need to be good because Christmas is coming? Okay. So I recorded a little video for them. Now I remember to be good because Christmas is coming. So that was interesting. So then on Saturday, one of our servers at Cracker Barrel that I see on every third Thursday of the month. She's not in on Fridays, but she's in on Saturday, and so I had told her I would swing by. And then one of the Walmart workers, Sarah, who was a greeter and now works in other places at Walmart, I told her I'd come by Saturday at some point as well, so I thought I was going to go have a picture with Santa anyways, and so got all the get-up back on and went in and did that. So that put me at Walmart at 3 o'clock on Saturday, 2 days before Christmas. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of people there, but it was fun. It was fun. It was cute because I was in the produce department because I did need to do some grocery shopping, extra grocery shopping for Christmas. I was in the produce department, and one of the produce ladies looked at me and she said, "That is so great." She said, "One of the problems is people just aren't brave today." I told her, people usually do not accuse me of not being brave. I said, my son-in-law, I saw him earlier today, and he just looks at me and shakes his head. He just shakes his head. So all is well. Got book 9. All the files are uploaded, all taken care of. We finally got that taken care of and done. We had a lovely Christmas. Several of the people were sick there, but that's okay. We had a lovely Christmas. And then I got a bunch of stuff done yesterday for Dad, produced the final fiduciary filing. It's the only one I've done, and that turned out to be easier than I thought it was going to be, which is good. So that gets mailed off today. I'm sending the check back, still waiting to hear if Social Security is going to want their $1,500 back. Once we get that clearance, then we'll start writing checks and splitting money up and being done with it. Done. I had made notes last week, but I was pretty blitzed last week with the week I had, so I didn't get to them. And honestly, I just kind of read through them again, and I'm just shaking my head. I'm just amazed. And I've heard some really great things this week as well that are all kind of part of this, which is, it's just really fascinating. This next year is just, it's going to be really interesting to see. I have a friend, a good friend, that I happened to come across, you know, a Facebook post that she made where she said she's just going to quit Facebook. And I mean, it's just... And the reason she's quitting Facebook and the vitriol, the vitriol that was in her message, and it's, wow, this tribalism that we are descending into. And honestly, I think it's all part of the overarching problem of, once you abandon some sort of a unifying moral code, once you abandon some sort of a unifying archetypal structure, if you don't have anything to look beyond your tribe and say there is more than just this tribal affiliation that unites us. There's more. There's this deeper meaning to life. There's deeper connections in life. You really get into a situation where, you know, you're tasked with defending the tribe, and then anything that affects the tribe is something that you're going to go to war over. And everybody's experience is different. And part of the problem for me, at least in my little world, obviously, is that you don't really have a clear headed analysis, a clear-headed view of what is happening around you, because the flesh is constantly trying to distort that. It's constantly trying to show you a picture of life that is not true. It's constantly focusing you on the things that are sad about life, are the things that are difficult about life, and then finding reasons to blame people for those things. The last book, book 9, I tried to talk about this. It was called The Leavening, because it came out of the parable of the leaven, which is a really interesting parable, because Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman works into the dough, and in no time it's spread throughout the whole mixture. And in that time you had this leavened piece of dough, old dough, that you mixed in with your baking, and that created the leavening. And some people have tried to just say, oh, that's just how the kingdom spreads. Jesus is just talking about how the kingdom spreads. But Jesus never talks about leaven in a context where it's a good thing. And the way I took that parable, the way I interpreted it in the leavening, was not that we were talking about the spread of the kingdom, but that Jesus was actually giving the parable of the leavening as a warning. And I'm not, this isn't unique with me. That he's actually saying, this is going to happen in the kingdom. That you're going to haul over some old stuff into the kingdom, and you're going to corrupt the kingdom because you're hauling in that old stuff. Now, you could debate what that old stuff is, you know, whether it's structures, whether it's hierarchical religious order structures, whether it's legalism, whether it's, you could debate all of that. But the idea there is that you really have to be careful and on guard with your hearts and minds. And if you don't have any standard to measure against, you don't have any way to look and say, okay, well, I'm not going down that road because that road leads to destruction. Because what I'm experiencing there is coming from the flesh. And so I'm not going to follow that path because that leads to destruction. I came across an article, and I won't go deeply into this because it's just astonishing. It's just astonishing. And all the more astonishing. It's just astonishing that, first of all, a learned person in university. This was written by a woman whose name is Susanna Danuta Walters, a professor of sociology and director of women's genders and sexuality studies in Northeastern University, is the editor of a gendered studies journal, Signs. So this is a supposedly learned person. In addition to that, this was published as an opinion piece in the Washington Post, that beacon of truth, that institution that speaks truth to power. You know, this is supposedly one of the leaders for what we should follow in terms of knowledge and paths forward and truth and justice and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so the title of this article is, Why Can't We Hate Men? Why can't we hate men? So, and I'm sure nothing I'm about to say would make any difference in this, but you have this overgeneralized, myopic, hate-filled article where she singles out the worst of the worst of what men have done to women, and men in general have done a lot of bad things to women in general, just as women in general have done a lot of bad things to men in general over thousands of years. And nothing is going to pacify her, because in her mind, men are all evil. They're all the enemy. They're, you know, and anything less than we just have to hate all men is not sufficient for her. I mean, she just comes out and says, I've rankled at the, quote, but we don't hate men, quote, protestations of generations of would-be feminists, and found the, quote, men are not the problem. This system is, quote, obfuscation too precious by half. I mean, she just goes on and she lists a bunch of things that are wrong with the world. Women experience sexual violence. That's true. The threat of violence permeates our choices big and tall. That's true. In addition, male violence is not restricted to intimate partner attacks, but plagues us in the form of terrorism and mass gun violence. Okay, so now all the men in the world are responsible for the terrorists. So all the men in the world are responsible for that. You know, she's still on this wage inequality stuff. Wage inequality continues to permeate every economy and almost every labor. Okay, well, there's been a whole bunch of studies, including a liberal media piece on how it's not that women earn less money than men. It's that women with children earn less money with men. There's a mommy pay gap, and there's reasons for that. But of course, she doesn't care about all this. Women have less access to education pretty much everywhere in the world. Okay, well, that's true. It's not necessarily true in America. She says the list goes on and on. So, you know, after trotting out all of this stuff, then she says, In the land of legislatively legitimated toxic masculinity, is it really so illogical to hate men? Okay, so et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she thinks that I love Michelle Obama as much as the next woman, but when they have gone low for all of human history, maybe it's time for us all to go Thelma and Louise and Foxy Brown on their collective butts. Okay, this is the Washington Post. This isn't some little side blog. This was published in the Washington Post. The world has little place for feminist anger. We are supposed to support, not condemn. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. So, men, if you are really hashtag with us, and you would like us not to hate you all for... You would like us not to not hate you for all the millennial of woe that you have produced and benefited from. Okay, in other words, there are no good men in the world. All men are evil. All men should assist. Okay, start with this. Lean out so we can actually just stand up without being beaten down. Pledge to vote for feminist women only. All right. Don't run for office. Don't be in charge of anything. Step away from power. We got this. And please know that your crocodile tears won't be wiped away by us anymore. We have every right to hate you. You have done us wrong. Quote, hashtag, because patriarchy, because a long time passed. It is long past time to play hard for Team Feminist and win. Okay. Okay. Well, here's the best and greatest reason not to hate men. Because that's driven by flesh, and flesh leads to destruction. Anytime you embody hate, anytime you embody hate, you create a cancer within yourself that will destroy you. That's why we don't hate. That's why we forgive. That's why we remain gentle and kind. Because there are just such, there's such blindness, in this article. It's just so sad. And at the end of the day, all of the things could happen that she wants to happen, and it wouldn't make any difference because of that blindness and hatred that there is within that's being caused by all that. You know, it's just self-destructive. It's just self-destructive. But if you don't have any moral framework, if you don't have any guidance towards how do I order my steps in life, how do I make sense of this larger picture, if you don't have any recognition of the war that's going on within you, you are completely at the mercy of the flesh. And you just keep spiraling tighter and tighter downward. And your vision just gets more and more narrow. And, you know, I feel really bad. Because this is not going to work out like the feminists want this to work out. And in fact, there's going to be, and there already is, a reaction against all of this. You know, if one... A couple of months ago, and I was thinking about doing a podcast on that, but I can just go quick here and do this. A couple of months ago, many months ago, information came out on the fact that Mike Pence, the vice president, will not have a meeting with a woman by themselves. They're just he and another closed-door meeting. He won't do it. He just won't do it. And he won't go to a function where there is alcohol involved without his wife coming along. Oh, the liberal media just went crazy over this, you know, and said, what kind of a horn dog must he be? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, they just went crazy over this. And yet, lo and behold, if we haven't come around to his viewpoint, now, mind you, men will not come out on the record and say that they're following the Pence rule. But off the record, there's been plenty of articles in recent days about the fact that businesses, financial institutions, tech companies, et cetera, are adopting, quietly adopting the Pence rule. And worse than just not meeting with women, they just won't hire women. Or they're only going to hire women for women's teams, and they're not going to hire women on men's teams. Why is that? Are they worried about men being too sexually aggressive? No, they're not. What they're concerned about is what happened with the Ford Kavanaugh hearing. What they're concerned about is believe all women. Is hashtag just believe her. That's what they're concerned about. Because what's putting forth by the feminists is accusation is sufficient, and also sufficient how something made me feel. Doesn't matter what the intention was. This is how it made me feel. Well, there's no way to estimate that. And while guys are jerks and can be jerks, that's absolutely true. Some of these businesses, I've read articles, and some of these businesses are saying, you know, there's sooner or later, somebody's going to say something that's going to offend somebody. And if that's going to blow up into this big sexual harassment lawsuit, and it's going to drag down the company, and it's going to harm productivity, and it's going to, well, you know what? We just won't hire women. Young women, single. We just won't hire them. Because if they're that volatile, it's just not worth the risk. And I even heard one group quoted as saying, yeah, we're a tech company and we'll hire women, but we'll only hire them for a woman's only team. And then we'll just keep our engineers and men, we'll just hire men for those teams. Now, they won't come out and say that on the record, but they'll just drift away from it. Because this descent into tribalism is not going to be beneficial. It's not beneficial in business. It's not beneficial for the country. This is going to be a fascinating year to watch and see how where things go in 2019. I mean, this is just going to be really fascinating. The other thing that's just fascinating to watch is to see if Google and Facebook and Twitter, if they all, those platforms, can get away with the fact that they are making arbitrary decisions to defund and to take away, shut down accounts on Patreon for conservative thinkers and conservative talkers. This is going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. Because Google and Facebook and Twitter and, you know, those big platforms, they certainly make the claim that they are neutral, but there's been some actions in recent days that it's hard to support the fact that they're actually neutral. And neutral is a very, very important term, because the only way that those platforms can get away with the fact that they are not responsible for content that is put on their platforms is if they are completely neutral, that everybody gets a say. But when you've got platforms like Patreon that are defunding people, and YouTube where they are decommercializing videos because they don't conform to some standard, This is just so interesting. I mean, but where does it leave us in all of this? It leaves us in exactly the same place that we have always been. In our lives, there are two gates. There's the narrow gate and there's the broad gate. And we can give in to the leavening of fear and to anger and distress and to worry and concern. We can give in to that leavening. Or we can pursue lives of love and kindness and gentleness. We can do our civic duty and vote. But we can try to see all people as sons and daughters of God with the spark of the divine. And we can pursue kindness. And we can pursue being the type of people who can talk to anyone, who can pray with anyone, who can love anyone. And we can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and we can be light and salt in our world, and balm and oil, and we can move through life loving our neighbor and loving our God, because those are the two big things. Happy New Year, everyone. I have made it home.